Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Gay Talk 2.0. My name is Tom, and I'm your host today and every day, and I'm here with my friends.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nick, or Trish, whatever.
I'm Chris. Good to be with you guys.
I'm just Paul Anthony. Hi.
And welcome again to the show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to thank all the subscribers for subscribing to our podcast. We're going to give you a little bit of background about who we are, what we're about, and what we're going to bring to your table or to your ears. So what do we got, guys?
We're just a group of beautiful, gay, semi-celibate. No, that's just me. No. Semi-celibate. Oh. Everybody else here is sluts.
Speak for yourself.
But no, yeah, no, we are all good friends and we're bartenders. And we have a lot to say. We want to share it with you. And we think it's really fun because we're all kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we want to do for you guys is, like, every time we record a podcast, we're going to have a signature drink. And today, our signature drink is actually, it's a different flavored mimosas. So we have mango, we have passion fruit. I believe I got even a pineapple. Mm-hmm. What else did we get? Tamarind. They weren't too keen on the tamarind, but the passion fruit tends to be a hit. And all of these, were made with delicious juices from Goya. Although we're not advertising,
they're
for
all
them.
In Spanish, and I can't even read them. I'm like, yeah. Which one's the pineapple?
They're like Bellinis.
Exactly. It says "Si es Goya, tiene que ser bueno." Yeah, but that's basically what it is. So that's sort of kind of what we're going to be bringing to you in every show. And as part of our first segment, what we're going to do is just bring you some dish. It's what we do best, guys. What are we going to talk about?
I don't know.
Trump. Tiny hands. Trump's tiny hands.
That was quick. Didn't take her long to sort of chim in. But
chim. Chim. I can't with the chim.
Yeah, well, there's background story to the word chim. I was on my Facebook once, and one of our resident divas, one of our drag queens, was writing a rant on Facebook. Instead of saying chime, she used chim.
She didn't know how to spell chiming.
That's right. I completely forgot
so,
about that.
So I sort of kind of stole it. I stole it, and that's going to be our new word. We're going to chim in. So
chim in.
Yeah.
More of that champagne.
Chim, 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 chim. And so, yeah. Oh, by the way, these mimosas are kicking in because we're like 3 bottles of champagne in at this point before we even started recording, because we want to make sure that you guys have something juicy.
It just flows better when I have a few drinks. I can just talk more. It's just like freedom.
I agree. So
pour yourself a glass and join in with us on our first inaugural.
And let's just say it doesn't matter what time of day it is. Pour yourself a glass.
To many, many, many more episodes. I hope that we have thousands and thousands of episodes and millions of subscribers.
Cheers to our listeners and subscribers.
Yeah, you know, just to let you know, our format is basically 4 friends around a kitchen. Well, my table. And that's it. We're just going to dish it out. So let's talk about those little hands.
Get right into it. Senator Marco Rubio making a comment about Donald Trump's tiny hands.
Oh, that was horrible.
During a debate.
Yes.
Presidential.
How professional.
Well, he was actually at one of his rallies when he made the comment. Trump, however, did his rebuttal at the actual national debate. And I thought, I was like, wait a minute. Am I hearing this right?
Right. You could have saved that for your Twitter page.
Hello. Well, which is Lord knows.
And he's on that page.
All the time. His Twitter is like a freaking novel. I read it.
Read it?
Do I read it?
I thought you said read it.
He chims in every now and then.
Yeah, I do. I chim
I'm
all
catching
the time.
On to this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, of course. So you know, so basically what Rubio ended up doing was insinuating that because Donald Trump's hands are very small, that he has a small penis or dick or cock or whatever you want to call it. And I said to myself, this is the presidential election scene. You know, it's that season. It has no – the word cock has no place And
well, they didn't actually use the word cock. They were just referencing.
But we know what we're talking about.
I mean, clearly we know what we're talking about. But
I just think it doesn't have any place in politics.
Half of what those two say have no place in politics. They're not talking about politics. They're just blowing smoke up everybody's ass.
And people are swallowing it up.
And people, yeah, people
who wouldn't swallow it up?
Like loads. Hello.
I don't swallow anybody's load with tiny hands.
It's because when you swallow a load, you got to run down the street.
So I actually have a recording of what it was that Rubio said, because to me this is very interesting. This is the type of rhetoric you don't want on the campaign trail. But let's listen.
And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me. He's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? And you know what they say about men with small hands.
Tiny cock.
And they're eating that up. That's insane.
These are people, shade of it all.
They're having rallies. These are some of the front runners for the Republican Party. Well, the four that are left in there. And these are people that are running for the top office in the world. And they're making comments like that.
Well, it's nothing like a about spectacle. Issues. It's a spectacle. They're trying to sell themselves. They're selling themselves. They're trying to get people to be a part of something that's not even real. It's ridiculous.
The other thing that just recently happened, which I caught very, very like loosely on TV, was that he said something. Someone asked him a question. If he sent out the troops out to do something, because he says that he's going to blow everybody up and do everything that he wants to do, and if the troops don't listen or oblige, he says, you know, well, they don't have an option. I'll make them do it.
Who said this?
Trump. Who talks like that?
Someone who's willing to decimate
this
cities.
Listen, Hitler was when?
The World War II was 1939 to 1945, but Hitler came into power in the early 1930s.
Can you imagine that, you know, 60-semi years later,
did you see
we're
the
still
photo?
Having...
He is a very close equivalent.
Did
the
you
way
see
he
the
speaks?
Photo of people at the rally basically...
Heiling, Heil Trump.
Yeah.
Heil Trump. That's how they react to him. Like, he's their Führer.
Everyone's saying he's the new Hitler.
Listen, it doesn't matter what you are. I don't care if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat. Anyone who wins this election is going to be actually historic, whether it's the first woman, whether it's the first Hispanic man, whether it's the last president. The first Jew or the last president. Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee you, if Trump is elected, we will no longer be a nation of free people.
Oh, no.
No, absolutely not.
Everybody's going to attack.
That's a really scary thing. I was saying to a lot of people, when I want to learn about what's going on, I watch the Democratic debates. And when I want a good laugh, I put on the Republican debates. And I sit there and I find it comical, the banter back and forth, yelling, dick-sized comments and shit like that.
That's a good laugh, all right, though.
But then it hit me and I'm like, this is the highest office in the entire world. And these fools actually have support. Donald Trump is numbers above... All these other, the four, Kasich,
his
Cruz, Rubio.
Are in the double and triple digits.
It's insane.
It's scary.
Like, seriously, I would prefer at this point to have Margot Rubio and get the nomination than Trump. Because at least we know what we're getting with Marco Rubio, just someone who's stupid.
Well, some people say that Rubio has a better chance should Clinton become the Democratic nominee, that Rubio, it will have a better chance of giving Clinton a run for her money as compared
Absolutely.
To Trump, which is scary because then... Republican will be going into office.
He would have a better chance in my pants. Because I'm certainly not doing Trump.
Oh, God.
What about Sanders?
I don't even know how his wife does him.
Lots and lots of
She's
money.
She's running around and all these like...
He doesn't
like,
have time for that.
He gets a blowjob for every bracelet she gets.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you happen to see the meme I saw on... I saw it on Facebook, and it was... Hillary Clinton was sitting with a classroom with a bunch of children... And she has this face, her eyes are all wide open. And one of the kids is saying, do you think it's going to be awkward sitting in the same chair that Bill got a blowjob in if you're elected?
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's like a 5-year-old little black kid.
Oh, of course, he had to be black, right? Yeah.
So fucked.
These memes are crazy. I saw another one of Donald Trump as Jabba the Hutt, and he had Chris Christie around the neck like they did, you know.
I saw that today.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Do you see like the 3-minute video of somebody somehow photoshopped Trump's head into, I think it was a Lannister for the Game of Thrones?
Yes, yes, yes. That one was funny, guys. You have to look these up because they were great. But before we keep going any further with Trump, I want to actually play his actual response to Marco Rubio's comment.
Oh, about the tiny hands.
Yeah, that was hysterical. Check this out.
He hit my hands. Nobody has ever hit my hands. I've never heard of this one. Look at those hands. Are they small hands?
Yes.
And he referred to my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem.
He's speaking truth, darling.
Yeah, but that was at the, was that the rally? Or
that was the Republican debate.
That was the actual debate, the national debate on national television.
No, and there's no place for
that. I gasped. I was just like, oh my God, am I really hearing this?
They're making fun of each other on national television,
yeah,
trying to win a presidency.
Rather than
people are actually cheering for it.
Right, rather than discussing the issues. When you look at the debate on Sunday in Flint, Michigan, you know, the Democrats are actually debating issues that are huge. I mean, this is a population of people that cannot drink their water that comes from the faucets. They can't brush their... Imagine waking up in the morning and not being able to brush your teeth.
Well, you could, but you're going to end up with a lot more than just rusty teeth.
Yeah, it's... And they actually are sitting down and talking things where these Republicans at the debate are just...
They yell again
at each other.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just to let you know, guys, Paul Anthony's our resident shitter. He's either always taking a shit or farting.
Yeah, so I'm...
Or both. Unexpectedly.
So if I make an open wide face, which you won't be able to see, Tommy knows to turn off my mic so I can take a poop break.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And it might happen soon because we just had some really greasy pizza.
Well, you know what? I think I might just send him into space because I don't want to even think about the smell that's going to come out of my bathroom.
Speaking of space.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of space. The astronaut that grew 2 inches.
You've got to tell me more about this. I don't understand exactly what's going on there.
Well, they were doing an experiment. NASA was doing an experiment, and so they took two twin brothers. So Scott Kelly, who is the brother of what's his name? Mark Kelly. And Mark Kelly was the husband of Gabrielle Giffords. That's the one that got shot in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Well, they sent Scott out into space for almost a whole year. He spent, I think, like over 350 days in space. And just to see what the effects of space would do to the body. So he landed last Wednesday, actually. He returned home on the 2nd of March. And when they measured him, he literally grew 2 inches. He is now 2 inches taller than his twin.
How
his
does
identical
that work?
Twin. Well, there's no gravity in space. So if you have nothing really pulling you down, you're not shrinking. You're expanding.
Exactly. And yeah, he was in space for 340 days. And it's, I mean, it makes sense exactly with the lack of gravity. Think of, for instance, when you...
There's just no pressure on his joints, on his bones.
So it's going
just... Nothing.
Right.
It's just floating. He's,
yeah.
And
his body's actually just kind of...
And it makes right, and it makes total sense that that would happen because if you think about it, every day that you go to bed, your body, your spine will expand itself when you're laying down and in full rest. So you're actually going to be a little bit taller while you're sleeping than when you're walking around throughout the day because then it compresses on you. So this man being in space for 340 days.
Literally grew 2 inches.
And that's incredible.
You know, and then so his brother, you know, who's, like I said, Mark Kelly, came out and congratulated him. And the guy actually landed with one of his Russian counterparts who was also with him on the International Space Station.
Right, and they landed in Kazakhstan.
And it was an amazing feat, you know, because they really proved that space can have an effect on the body, not in a negative way, but... You know,
I wonder if his penis grew.
You know,
you never know. Maybe his balls hung higher.
Maybe his testicles got bigger.
Paul will find out.
You know, you know.
Mr. Kelly, if you are listening, I'd like to know if your penis got bigger. Thank you.
If so, I will be on the next flight to
Texas.
Mars.
Or maybe to the moon. But, you know, it's pretty funny because actually it's not funny. I'm very happy for this family because the Kelly brothers have been very successful in their careers as astronauts. And, you know, it's kind of sad to see Mark Kelly, you know, to see his wife go through what she did. In Arizona back, you know, when she ended up getting shot in the head, you know, 13 people were injured and 6 people died when she was doing that rally. She was actually one of the, she was the U.S. representative for the state of Arizona at the time. And that really caused a concern because it wasn't so different back then, the rhetoric that we had with politics that really caused this demented person to go and shoot up this rally and where she was. And so that's why I'm really concerned in the way we're headed with politics. But
where gun violence has become the norm for us.
Yeah, it is.
Every other day, people are getting shot up. I mean, other than, you know, looking at the Middle Eastern countries, we have the highest gun violence. I'm not laughing during that, but
there's a rumble.
If I could chime in, a couple weeks ago, I had a guest come into town. Okay. Because I'm not just a bartender. I have a full-time job as well. And I fly people in every once in a while to do some work at my job. And she was in town. And she's actually from Wales.
From England. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Wonderful.
Love their accents.
Wonderful woman. And she was talking about how much she loves America and how much she loves to visit America and be here. However, she was like, I don't get it.
You do realize he farted, right? Which is why he's over there almost in stitches. And okay, but go ahead. So you were saying.
She was just like, we were in the car talking. And she was just telling me she just doesn't get it. The world is looking at America and laughing because constantly we're losing people to gunfire because people can't. Because we have such relaxed laws about gun control and we're continually losing people to these mass shootings and we're not doing anything about it.
Well, it's not that we have relaxed laws. It's just that we uphold our Constitution so...
But the thing is, the Constitution was about taking arms as a militia in defense of your country. It was not talking about having a shotgun in your bedroom just because you want to protect yourself.
You can thank the NRA for that because they've taken something so dangerous... And taking a document that so literally was written in 1700s.
But kids still shouldn't have assault rifles.
No, assault rifles should not
be legal for anyone. No one needs to have those military style weapons.
But they're out. They're there.
But the other thing that's important about the right to bear arms is it wasn't just to form a militia to defend your country. Think of how our country was founded. We fought back. So what it was is you have the right to bear arms should your government fail to protect you and protect your rights, then you can rise and remove said government. Exactly. But the problem is the militarized assault weapons out there. I mean, laws were passed where magazines can only have a certain amount of bullets now. No one needs to have 84-round magazines. No one needs to have a handgun over 20 rounds.
Listen, if you have to shoot more than 3 bullets... You need to go back to the gun range.
If you need to shoot more than one, you're in trouble because in order to really say that you are protecting yourself, you're backed against the wall. If you do nothing, you are going to die or someone you know next to you is going to die. It's one bullet.
That's all it takes.
That's very true.
That's all you need. You don't need 20. You don't need 80. You don't need any more.
You don't need any. I personally hate guns. Well, I don't like them at all. I think only the military should have them.
But that's the problem, though. The NRA gets involved. The NRA takes some literal document that we've had that's been lingering around since the 1700s and turns it into, you know, you're infringing our rights to bear arms. And I'm like, yes, but, you know, when the law was written, when that article was passed, it didn't have the meaning that you're giving it right now.
Correct. Exactly. That's what anybody does when they want to make a point.
Of course.
They take any language, they twist it, they turn it, they say, we put this into place to protect our rights, this and that, and they make it so that it sounds almost as if, you know, I'm lost.
What they're doing is they're interpreting the U.S. Constitution. They're interpreting it
for their own good.
When they're not reading it and taking it for what it is, it's written. That is what our nation is set on. Therefore, in each state has their own constitution, but those aren't up for discussion. Those aren't up for debates. Those are the ones that are written down. You don't get to interpret it differently than anyone else. Mm-hmm. It says what it is.
And it's just like the whole thing with gay marriage, if you compare it to that. Hmm. People were using different things about God and this and that, but it's not about God. If there's a separation of church and state, why is that even an argument?
Well, here's the interesting part about that. The separation of church and state really is a document that was written separately to the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that actually says God, church, anything.
Right.
At all in the entire document.
But people will use whatever they want to make
a point. Well, they make it.
They're all using
Christians.
It's religion. Religion.
Of course. You know, and here's the thing. I don't even know how in God we trust God on our dollar.
Founding fathers were religious people.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's like you have a right to your religion and our Constitution protects you and protects your right to express and to practice your religion. But you don't have to force it down people's throat.
Yes, you practice religion. You don't impose it on people.
Exactly. And I think that's a very important point to make. But, you know, people fail to realize that. And then so when you have all these evangelical Christians trying to sway how politics are going to end up, how this candidate is going to make it to the White Office, you know, to the White Office, excuse me, to the White House, because he's the right color and he's of the right creed, to me is just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and because, you know, we're all gay men sitting at this table. So we gained a lot over the last year.
Wait, I mean.
Well. We.
Two pizzas in the other room.
We're all French all of a sudden. No, we gained a lot with.
We really have.
With equality and marriage equality for in the entire nation. I mean. Yeah, there's a lot of aspects of our lifestyle that are really laughable. You know, like people say, okay, well, you know, you're running around all thinking that your pansies are women and, you know, you want to be women. No, that's not what we want to be. We're men and we are who we are. And then you have other people who want to be who they are, like Caitlyn Jenner, for example. She wants to be a woman and she wanted to transition. Fine. Then you transition and be who you want to be. I said, but America can't literally look at her and say, well, that's what the entire gay community is.
Yeah. That's right. That's not the LGBT community. That's just one person that happens to fall into that. But she doesn't. Never mind.
Well, I personally think she got way too much attention.
Oh, yeah.
So she wants to adopt a baby now.
Well, Jesus H. Here's the new thing. Not only does she want to adopt a baby, she actually came out and despite, you know, of Ted Cruz's stance on LGBT issues, during an interview with The Advocate, she actually made a surprising declaration and said that she actually likes Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. And she allegedly even offered to be his trans ambassador. And I'm saying to myself, well, I'm like, you know, here's what she said. She says, I like Ted Cruz. And I quote, she said, I think he's very conservative and a great constitutionalist, which I agree with her because the man really knows he's very smart.
Yeah.
Stupid in many ways, but smart. And so she says, you know, he's a great constitutionalist and a very articulate man. I haven't endorsed him or anything. She made a point to let people know. But I think he's an evangelical Christian and probably one of the worst ones when it comes to trans issues. And I agree with her. Because he is not going to stand for what you are. Not many people would unless, you know, they align with what you believe in. And all they need to do is believe that you have a right to be you and no one has a right to change you.
Exactly.
And as long as someone is willing to accept you for who you are and not push their own judgments on you, then that's the type of person you need to surround yourself with. Ted Cruz is not that person. And if you want to sit here and be a trans ambassador for him, for what? You're not going to get anywhere. He's not going to accept who you are.
No.
At all. I say to myself, what the hell was she thinking? You know, I was like, you know what? Anyway.
And Bruce Jenner was opposed to gay marriage.
Yeah. So was Caitlyn.
Well, now I found that – I think that that's a skeptical
– Wasn't she?
She was. And I think she still is.
I think she openly was a little bit more accepting of it since her transition.
No, but I think it was during her transition that she came out. It was after the transition that she came out and said that she wasn't supporting of gay.
That she likes women.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, does that make you a lesbian now?
Yeah, right.
Are you a carpet muncher all of a sudden?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Oh, you never stopped being a carpet muncher because before that you had what's her name, Chris? Is that her name?
Jenner, yeah.
Yeah, right. That's Mama.
That's Mama
Kardashian.
Oh, yes. God, I never followed the Kardashians.
Yeah, the Kardashian clan losers.
That's another day for the topic.
Yeah, dude, that's a whole episode.
That might be two episodes combined in one.
Two or three. But, you know, so what else? I mean, there's a lot going on.
Well, with the Cruz, now that we have Ted Cruz being mentioned, I'm sure that everyone now has saw his little snack that he had on stage during the Republican debate.
Ooh, yes.
A little tumbler from the nostrils, top to bottom lip, and slurp.
Wait.
What is wrong with these candidates? They're a mess. They're all a mess.
He was eating boogers on national television.
This is actually what it sounded like when he was actually sucking it in. It just went right out. I was like, wow.
That sounds like Trish's hole.
Oh, Trish.
That was. Could you get that away from the mic, please? Thank you.
Oh, by the way, just in case you're wondering, we call Nick Trish. You know, because when she gets into her white trashy mode.
Guys, I may be sexting somebody right now, so I missed what you were saying.
We called you Trish.
See, it's the right amount of, class and trash.
Listen, put together.
Right? Perfect timing.
Basically, what we said was is that your hole sounds like this.
After this morning.
I'm sure.
Mine too, girl. Mine too.
Up top.
Well, that's because, you know, that one's always taking the dump, so, you know, it's always empty.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you.
I'm going to stop.
Oh, I can't with him. I really can't. Because he's always taking a shit that one. Then he thinks that, you know what? There's nothing wrong with it, but then when you smell that stench coming around the
corner.
There
is no stench. Oh. Maybe when I have to poop or when it's in the middle of it. But let me tell you, when it's time for fucking PA to bottom, that is clean as a whistle. Well, I will spend 45 minutes douching out my poop chute.
I can hear the ocean.
We have drastically gone from like talking like adults to talking like trash in 0.5 seconds.
All right.
It takes three bottles of champagne.
Everything always ends in shit. Seriously. But I mean, then you have this one over here, right? She says that Paul Anthony has a pretty cock.
She does have a pretty cock.
It's never been in his mouth, but he's...
I've seen it.
A lot of times.
Yeah, we were actually FaceTiming the other day.
Care to chim in?
I'm good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So listen, so we're FaceTiming the other day, Paul and I. And like always, every time I call him, he's always in the crapper. Always.
So were you. Well, you were out shopping for champagne.
Yes, I was getting the champagne bottles. He says to me, you want to see something? I got somebody that wants to say hello. So he pulls up his shorts and his little pink cock comes out and says, hi. And I'm like, hi.
So I wasn't pooping.
You were sitting somewhere. You had shorts on.
Oh, I can't sit on the toilet with shorts on, can I?
Or are you doing it wrong?
I've already pooped my pants once in the last 2 weeks. I don't need to do it again.
So you guys are mutually pooping? Like a mutual poop?
Sometimes we do before work.
Yeah, we do that. We sort of kind of like, I mean, we don't show each other anything. We just sit there. And
like the foot under the stall. Yeah,
I'm like, Paul, listen. And he's like, oh, wait, listen. And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. And
yeah, so, I'm done. So everybody FaceTimes while they poop, right? That's normal.
Is it?
I do.
Yeah.
It's like whales talking to each other.
It's really my only downtime. It's my time to catch up with Paul.
I Snapchat while I poop, too.
Oh, he does that all the time.
Yes, I've seen those.
Listen.
I'm pretty sure that's your photo in my phone when you call me.
A turn?
It is. No. It's me on the toilet.
It's him on the toilet.
Selfie up.
Yeah.
It's an amazing feeling to sit around table with men. Or friends who you can talk this candid with. This is a great group of guys. So I just want to remind you guys that, you know, this is what we're going to be doing every week. So if you're really liking what you're hearing, make sure that you tune
in. Yeah, because it's only going to get bigger and better.
Bigger and better and bolder and better things. What are you showing over there?
My turd.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, my God. So
when our website is up, by the way.
I was just going to say when it's up. After this podcast, tune into our website and you can see the photos that we're talking about. Pooping.
The website is going to be www.gatetalk20.com. Trust me when I tell you, we're going to put that right on our website so y'all can see what we're talking about. The poop picture. Of course it's going on there.
It's going to end up on Tumblr. Did you fart again? 5 minutes. No, I don't know.
No, that wasn't me that farted, but it was me that made a noise.
Chris
no.
doesn't have a computer, so he used pens and paper. It's like, you know,
I stopped at the Dollar General on my tablet.
These goddamn
I picked up
post-its.
A notebook. I got a post-it. I got two pens. I'm prepared.
It's like
I'm
Romy and Michelle. I invented
it so post-its. Much that it's like every little noise now, I think it's a fart. I'm like, literally, I'm either like, I'm walking around with a clothespin the whole time. Just cover my nose.
No, it's that's me writing it's dormant notes. Right now. Mm.
So we like to do the dish, definitely, but...
Yeah, the dish is good. But, you know, we have to jump into our segment. Guys, we're here to talk about getting wicked. So
yes.
two of our co-hosts, Nick and Paul, actually went into the city, and they actually went to see Wicked.
Yeah, Nick took me to go see Wicked on Broadway for my birthday, and it was... And
happy birthday to you,
It was
Paul?
Actually a Christmas present.
What?
Oops.
Timing.
It was your Christmas present.
Oops.
Well, they're so close together, you know.
You lying sack.
That just
of
makes
shit.
Nick look cheap.
My birthday is 15
he
days
bought
from
you
Christmas.
One present for both.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, get out. I don't even know his birthday.
Did I get you anything for your birthday?
No. You got
an Amazon
tickets.
Card.
Oh, that's right.
Shit. All right. You're not cheap anymore. You have to take that back.
No, Nick's good to me. She's
forgiven.
My biffle.
You're
I love
forgiven.
Nick.
So tell me. So how was your experience with Wicked?
I cried like 5 times. Aww.
First of all, we should say, too, that I work in theater like I love theater. Paul?
I'm not really one to actually be like, hey, I want to go see a show. But if someone wants to and they'll be like, let's get tickets, I'll be like, okay. Mm-hmm. Not thinking I'm going to go into the show liking it, but I end up leaving the show like, oh my God, that was fucking amazing.
But it was, because think about it. It's like, who takes a show? Well, who takes a movie like The Wizard of Oz and literally creates a show about what happened prior and after and makes a hit on Broadway?
It's no longer just a hit. It's now a brand.
It is.
I mean, it will be running for at least another 10
listen,
years.
Listen, Gregory Maguire is genius. He was actually the one who wrote the the novel.
The novel.
And it says the life and times of the Wicked Witch of the West. And the show actually premiered, what, in 2003 back at the Gershon Theater in New York? And it was...
Yeah, they started off in San Francisco as a tryout.
Well, every show, you know, every show before it goes to Broadway is a pre-Broadway run, and they really have to workshop the show before it goes anywhere.
Right, and me being someone, I actually had never even seen Wicked. I know what it's about. I played horn, and I played the horn part back in school when we were doing a medley of it. And initially, it had a lot of mixed reviews saying it had a very generic score. But since its premiere over a decade ago in New York, Wicked has grossed over $3.1 billion worldwide. Well,
when you think about it, you know, you've got Stephen Schwartz, who's the composer and the lyricist of the music from Wicked. And, you know, he literally had to plead with Gregory Maguire to let him, you know, actually take and get the rights to actually
turn this into a
show. But the problem was that the rights were already been had already been sold to Universal. And so he pleaded with Maguire to go back to Universal and say, hey, listen, we really want to do this play. And, you know, you got to work with us. You got to convince them to do it. And so what ended up happening is there's this guy at Universal. He's a producer. His name is Mark Platt.
And David Stone.
Yes. And he realizes that, you know what, there's a lot of potential if we do the show and it could really turn into something big. And so he actually signed on to be one of the producers of the project, working along with the lyricist Stephen Schwartz. And the product ended up being the show. And it's been amazing. The original cast, by the way, which included Idina Menzel and like Christian Chenoweth. And
the one that you went saw, right?
Oh, I saw it twice at the beginning and I got to see it with the original cast. And let me tell you, it was amazing. And the wizard was actually played by Tony Gray, and he did a really, really good job. I mean, the whole cast was amazing. And
it's crazy now too, because it's been running for so long that they really a principal role is only on that stage maybe 9 months at a time. They really switch it out to keep it fresh and new, because it's hard when a show's running for so long to keep it fresh and new. Actually, funny story. Idina Menzel, on her last performance of Wicked on Broadway, there's a part which she's descending, and she fell and broke a rib and could not finish the show. So they literally stopped the show, put the understudy in green makeup, which takes about a half an hour.
But the audience sitting there for...
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And they finished the last like 10, 15 minutes of the show with a different alphabet. And then she came back like maybe a week or so later and did the last 15 minutes of the show in a red jumpsuit, like a red, like, you know, velour suit.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And only someone like Idina can pull that off. I mean, the woman is a Broadway legend. She was on Rent.
Yeah.
I mean, she's done so many musicals, but the thing is, she's done the right musicals because she's always on the hits. Not only was she in the original cast of Rent, she ended up in the movie. Mm-hmm. That came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did a really, really good job for herself. And then, of course, now with Frozen, which I hate. I can't stand that stupid song.
Seriously, they need to let it go.
Is that what you say to your ass every day? Let it go.
Yeah, she doesn't need to say that to her ass.
And if you think about
it, goes when it wants.
It goes.
The really interesting thing about...
Fucking bitch.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Bitch, get away from the microphone.
If you think about, I read something very interesting about Idina Menzel and her second audition for the show Wicked. Her voice actually cracked horribly on the last note of Defying Gravity, and she actually cursed. And she went home in tears, and the directors, Mantello and Schwartz, they actually found that endearing. And she got the cast. Now, she at this point thought, that's it. I blew it. Last note, big number. I cracked. She's not going to get
it. I mean, if you really think about that last note, that note goes, I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying that's easy
at
all.
And she's actually in a harness. She's being swung up. Because at that point, she's singing it because she's at the top, you know, when she's like really belting that note out. And
that's such a beautiful picture. Oh, my God.
It is. And you know what? And that note in that picture, that brought her being casted and winning a Tony for the best actress in a musical.
Yeah.
She won a Tony for that.
Well, actually, the show, if I'm not mistaken, won 3 Tonys when it debuted. It had actually 6 Drama Desk Awards, and it also won a Grammy for the best score. The original.
Isn't that ironic that when it was first debuted, people said the score was quite generic, and then you're getting a award for best score, original score.
Seriously, I mean, it was an amazing feat what they did with that show.
And since 2013, you know, the Wicked has been shown in over 100 cities.
2003.
I'm not saying since when it came out. Since 2013, Wicked is now being shown in over 100 cities, 13 countries, and it's actually translated into 5 different languages: Japanese, German, Dutch, Spanish, even Korean.
They have costumes in every single size. Every single costume for that show. There is one in every single size.
And her name's the lead, Alphaba. I never watched it. Alphaba. One of her costumes, and I wanted to ask, since I'd never seen it, I would like you guys to describe the costume to me, because her costume and her broom, it's actually on display in the American Stories exhibit in the Smithsonian in D.C.
And it very well should.
I don't know what it's even like.
It's such an iconic role, because when you think about it, she's not only iconic in Wicked. Elphaba is actually iconic in The Wizard of Oz. I mean, this is a storyline that has been going for decades and decades and decades.
There is so much detail to this costume.
It's pretty
amazing. I don't even know what it's made out of.
It's pretty amazing. I think it's a fantastic, fantastic costume.
And some
it's
photos really
just,
are...
It's just like a black...
Black robe, like, but yeah. What's more impressive is her makeup, but you know...
Oh my God. If you go onto playbill.com, Sorry, when I'm at work, sometimes I watch videos on playbill.com. Don't tell my boss. but anyway, if you go on playbill.com, they actually do Jonah Platt, who plays Fiero right now. He was doing a little...
He's hot.
Oh, my God, damn. Oh, and that voice. Yes. He did short episodes called Fiero Time on playbill.com, and there is one where he's actually sitting with Alphaba while she gets green. And the process and the makeup is crazy.
And let me tell you, stage makeup is very hard to get on.
Kerry Washington was in...
Well, she also has people.
I just spilled over
my... Kerry Washington was in Wicked?
What? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Was she?
She was as a midwife in the original West End cast.
In West End, was that like a...
West End is in England. That's the Broadway big one.
Oh, no, I did not know.
It might be a different...
Maybe it's a different Washington, Kerry Washington.
That's for another day. Kerry Washington, check. Olivia Pope.
Well, fact check that.
Well, the woman that's actually running is playing Alphaba right now. Her name is Rachel Tucker, who was just to die for. She was amazing. She is from England. She worked in the West End. Or maybe she was on the European tour before she took over the Broadway. She took over the role on Broadway.
And that is an honor. When you are doing shows around the world and you literally get casted to come into New York.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. That is like Broadway. Oh, Broadway is
Broadway.
Theater heaven.
Well, I mean, you say Broadway, but then you say Broadway and then Wicked. Wicked is a staple. It's like
Cats.
When you think, yeah, it is.
Or Phantom.
It is the
Or Phantom. You know, did you know that Wicked is actually the 10th longest running show on Broadway right now?
Cats the first, right?
Cats was running for over 25 years.
How long? Phantom's been running
Phantom's
forever, too.
Getting up there, too.
Phantom is getting up there because Cats started at the Winter Garden Theater, I think, and it stopped. But I mean, if Phantom of the Opera keeps going, it's going to surpass
without a doubt. And that show will never die. I mean, that show is brilliant. It's the score amazing. Is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
You know words.
He's brilliant. Especially as I'm a musician and I play a lot of instruments, and the two that I was probably the most fluent in would be oboe and French horn or horn. And
I play the French horn. I play
the French horn. Keys,
yeah. It's because you suck and blow both those instruments.
Exactly. and in the horn, you do put your hand in the hole.
Yes.
And you have to cup it for certain notes.
Oh, Jesus.
Like fisting.
But yeah, and in his score, the horn is just sore. Music of the night and the oboe is just gently rocking to sleep.
Somebody said fisting and I had to stop. What?
Well, because I know how a French horn works because I was in band too growing up in school. And the girl that used to put, you know, she literally...
You cup your hand.
Like you're about to like start to go fist somebody.
It's a cup.
Yeah.
A wide cup. A wide beginning.
I played anything with three keys. Advanced. I could do the trumpet, the French horn, the tuba. The only one that I played that didn't have three keys was the trombone.
The trombone.
Because I just like to push things out.
Yeah. See, horn, I play a double horn. So the double horn actually has 4 keys. It gets your thumb key. And a lot of tubas actually get the 4th key for a pinky. Nice. That's when it gets a little tricky.
So I can't read music like that. I can read music from a score, but I can't.
But here's the thing. I never learned how to read or write music. I would do it by memory.
Oh, really?
And by ear, I'm sure.
And by ear. And then the thing was, is my teacher would be frustrated with me, which is why I ended up quitting band when I got to like 7th grade. And I went into chorus instead. because my teacher would literally get frustrated with me because I could not read music. But then when he said, play it, I would play it. And he's like, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Well, you have a great ear. Not to mention everybody, just so you know, Tommy has an amazing voice
as
well.
Why, thank you. He does. I can't understand most of the songs he sings, but it sounds pretty.
Kimbada, Jesus. I hate that fucking song.
So much.
But listen, but I am Spanish, so, you know, I do have to... I am Latino, and so I do have to, you know, pay homage to my people, when, especially when I'm out there, you know, performing or maybe doing karaoke or whatever. And so, you know, if you happen to see a song and I like it, I'll sing it. But it's fine. But so anyway, going back to Wicked, you know, it's I really love the show. So I'm glad that you guys got to. What's your favorite song?
The set design was amazing. I don't know. Which ones did I cry at?
You loved Popular. Popular.
That was hilarious because Glinda was so stupid and ditzy. She was like, oh my God. And I'm over here trying to take photos and they're like, no photos. Nick's like, put your fucking phone down.
I wanted to kill
him. I got two photos. I got a photo at the beginning before the show started and then I got a photo at the end.
Also,
when Alphaba and Glinda were like, they were at the end and they were singing and arguing.
You know Kristen Chenoweth, right? Can you imagine her doing Popular? It was amazing because she is hilarious. Her whole personality is bubbly, so she literally would take the song and own it.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
I do have to say though, when we went and saw the show, I still think that they switched out the Glinda halfway through it intermission because the first act I was like, she's not doing a good job. The second act, she came out
with the second act and she
she sounded great. I was like,
oh, they probably threw her in the back and said, here, suck a dick, get ready to go.
Well, you know, when I went to, I don't know if I should really
nice and open.
When I went to actually visit backstage with the company manager, she was telling me how the producers came in to see one of the new Glindas and they didn't like her. Ew. And like the producers were like, oh, no, not liking this Glinda. Rehired somebody the next day. They have so many people on standby, it doesn't matter. Like, well, that's ridiculous.
Can you imagine, like, being able to play Glinda on Broadway? Of course you would have people lined up for the role.
Oh, I worked with a girl who played Glinda last year on Broadway.
Listen, I'd be running around.
Really?
I'd be running around with a golf club, knocking people's knees out. Oh, she's done.
The girl that played in last 5 years, you came and saw last 5 years at the theater. She was Glinda on Broadway.
Like, really?
Twice or three times.
My favorite song was As Long As Your Mind.
And now she's a non-profit organization theaters. Poor girl.
Love As Long As Your Mind.
She actually hadn't worked for a long time because she... It's a long story, but it was her choice. She's married up. She's fine.
Oh, she shacked up.
Paul made a good point. Like I said before, I hadn't seen the show. Yes, dude, Paul. Yes, I will say you made a great point. You said the set. You were talking about the set.
Oh, my God. The set design is amazing. I wouldn't even know how much money they put into this set design because I'm like...
Well, they've made it back already.
It's so intense how much work goes into this set.
Can you describe a little bit of it?
Oh, from the monkeys climbing. They were climbing like 50 feet high. They were swinging through the air.
A lot of aerobatics.
There was not too much.
Okay.
Just part when the monkeys started flying.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, they were climbing the... There's like this big grate that drops down for the Oz's chamber.
Yes.
And they were climbing that grate. And there were also on either side, it was like... I don't want to describe them like tree houses, but it was like these wooden...
Like huts?
No, it's like towers almost. Okay. With stairs that go all the way
up. Well, you got to remember that where Oz lives, it's very stony, very castle-like.
Yep, and so there's a lot of like... clock-looking type
Oh my God,
of.
And the wizard was literally like this 10-foot-tall head that was literally moving around and talking.
So it was similar to what the, other than being projected, it was similar to what the wizard is in the film The Wizard of Oz? Is there any similarities in the wizards?
Well, no.
It's like a...
There's a little small, bit, but... A small, like... innuendo that it has to do with the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you really know that the storyline follows what happens before, because this is...
Oh, right. This is before.
This is before and a little bit of after, because what they're describing is the relationship between the Wicked Witch of the West and the Good Witch.
Like, here's one
and how they ended up being enemies right by the time that the Wizard of Oz comes out.
Would, like, from this set, they would change those out so quick within like
dropping
15
things.
Seconds. Well, like, that's bam,
the
magic. Bam.
And I did some... The set is one of the largest sets that they had out there. The electrical alone, they were saying that could power 12 homes easily. The carpentry is almost 200,000 pounds of wood.
Oh, yeah.
5 miles of cable And it took 250 pounds of dry ice to do a performance.
Oh my God, it's crazy. The dry ice on backstage was insane.
Constant fog.
But when you think about the Gershwin Theater, which is where they originally started, I think they're still there. Listen, the Gershwin Theater is actually a really nice theater. Their stage is amazing.
Yeah,
it's one of the New York's one of
it's New one
York's,
of the largest theaters yeah,
yep. in the district. And let me tell you, they do really good shows. Another really good show that I saw too that I put up there with Wicked is The Lion King.
I've actually never seen that on Broadway.
Oh, that's amazing.
I've seen a tour of it though, which was wonderful.
The Lion King.
Oh, The Lion King. I would love to see that.
And you know,
I have issues with Disney taking over Broadway, though. But I mean, I love their shows, but the
screenplay is a little bit different. And you know what I love the most is that the cast of The Lion King will not think about it twice, getting on a subway and jumping into song.
Oh my God, on the plane too.
Yes,
you saw that.
The best. It's like when they literally start singing, then the mothers are bringing the little boys up the aisle so that they can listen. And
they're like, something about Kenya. Yeah, Feliz Navidad.
Yes,
I want to see that.
The Lion King is amazing. You have shit coming out of the aisles. I mean, there's things coming at you everywhere.
It's fun when they like kind of bring it into the audience. I've been to Broadway 4 times. And a fan of the opera, Pirate Queen, Legally Blonde, I went for its premiere. That was actually campy.
Oh my God, I love that show.
What was the other one?
And, so gay.
From the Heights or Into the
In
Heights?
In the Heights.
In the Heights. Yeah. In the Heights. There we go.
That's a good show.
Yeah, that was good. It was. Yeah, it was really
You know, that
good.
Was that was actually workshopped by students.
Really?
They workshopped the show and it got so big that it went to Broadway.
And it was Corbin Blue, I believe, was the lead when I went there.
Oh, High School Musical. Corbin Blue.
Yeah.
He's kind of hot.
Yes, I love him. I do love him. He is kind of hot. So, are we going to watch any other shows at all? I mean, are we going to go back to Broadway? And what are we going to do? And
I kind of want to go see Aladdin.
Really?
Yeah, I would actually love to see Wicked again if Chris ever wanted to go and see it.
I would love to. Mm. I love the theater. I played Aladdin in 8th grade.
You did?
I was Aladdin. I wanted to be Jafar, but I was Aladdin.
Did you sing?
I think we should do a field trip to New York City and go see Wicked and then come back and really like do a Wicked.
No, we should go see Kinky Boots.
Oh, my
God. What's that? Or the new show. Like oh, my God. Why am I blinking? It's big about Andrew Jackson.
Oh, you're talking about
help me, I'm blanking.
Hamilton.
Oh,
they
oh my
won a
God.
Grammy.
Yeah, no, they have been
phenomenal.
Blowing up. Phenomenal. Everybody that goes there is like, this is my new favorite show.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I do need to say this. I do need to say this. There's no gay show in the world, especially ours, that can actually go off the air, which we're going to do very soon because we're going into our cutting into our almost 45 or 50 minutes. There is no gay show in this world that can actually sign off without tipping their hat off to Lady Gaga and her performance at the Grammys of her song Until It Happens to You.
She just got a tattoo about...
let me tell you how...
Survivors.
That was so touching. It was amazing. It's good to see someone use their voice for something good. Yeah. I really applaud her. I really think, you have artists out there that really do go out for our community, Madonna being one of them, but I think that Lady Gaga is stepping up her A game. Seriously, she is. And it's because it's not only for the gay community, for everyone. She's taken victims of rape and really given them a voice. And that whole thing of having all of them come out on stage with her, it was amazing. It was, if you haven't seen it, check it out. Seriously, you have to.
Yeah,
you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. It's
and now everyone's getting the same tattoo that she just got because she just got a tattoo.
Oh yeah,
basically for all sexual assault survivors.
What is it? Like a dot or something?
Honestly, I'd have to read up more on it, but it's a cute little thing on her wrist.
All right,
but everyone's tweeting about it and like getting the same tattoo.
Yeah, I mean it's really out there in social media, and people are really talking about it, and I think that it's wonderful. You know, it's oh Lord have mercy. What do you say when you go out on stage and you do such a powerful performance? I cried. I'm sitting in my living room. And I was supposed to go out that Sunday for drinks, and I was like, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, I'm done. I was emotionally distraught after that performance.
She was having a Sunday in a while.
She was having a really hard time before that performance because she went out on stage with all the survivors before the performance. She just started crying.
Well, true. I haven't been out.
But then she knocked that shit out of the ballpark.
Right. I haven't been
God
out.
Damn.
It's been a while.
We miss your Kimbata.
Well, but guess what? Next week is St. Patrick's Day. And guess what? The debauchery never ends on St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, well, I got to work. So my work's going to be dealing with the
debauchery. Might have to do like a little 25-minute snippet podcast when we all get home from St. Patrick's
Day. That would be brilliant because I work the babysitting shift is what I call it. I come in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By that point,
everybody's hammered.
It's people. People that I've known for 4 years will not recognize me.
I don't go in until 7.
I don't.
And it's just a hot mess.
What's even the point at that?
I won't go out until 5 or 6 because the people that are out at 9 a.m. are blacked out by 5 o'clock. And I'm like, listen, bitch, I am not even on your level right now. Get the fuck away from me. There was one year a friend of mine ran up to me and he started like throwing beer at me and stuff. And I'm like, MB, Lola, give me a beer now. I ordered a beer just so I could pour it on his head. I'm like, get away from me.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of holidays coming up, but you know, St. Patrick's Day is very, 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 very big, actually, in the Northeast.
Yeah, no,
a lot
huge.
Of people do parties.
Especially like, in New Haven. New Haven's got a very big Irish community, actually.
Yes, the Greater New Haven St. Patrick's Day Parade is actually this Sunday, March 13th.
Irish and Portuguese right here. Come and get it. Booty, booty, hole, booty everywhere. Know. What?
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's amazing. But that's not the only St. Patrick's Day Parade occurring in the area. Newport, Rhode Island. I couldn't say that last night, but I could
Boston
tonight.
Actually made the Monday after a national holiday.
It's amazing. And they should.
They should.
And they should. Every
like
every
you don't
city.
Have to go to work on that Monday.
Because you're not going to be functional.
Every city needs to do that.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing right now is that we might next Sunday come back and have a little like half hour powwow after St. Patrick's
Day. Oh my God.
Day, just to right. update our listeners.
No, well, why not?
I think that makes sense.
A 30 minute show of what the fuck happened today.
I think that is an order. So when we close the bars on Sunday into Monday, I take Monday off from my regular job because it's just, I can't function.
I'm going to do the same.
I am not functioning.
I work a double.
On that Monday,
I'm going to be so useless waiting tables for old people.
I am not.
They're going to smell you and be like,
the cooks smell me every day. They're like, Chris, you reek of alcohol. I'm like, nothing else I can do.
Is that German for leave me alone?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
No, but seriously. So Newport is having theirs. New Haven is having theirs. There's even one in Mount Snow, Vermont.
They're doing the
one in Holyoke, which is very big, actually.
Stanford just had theirs.
Because I used
week.
To live in that area.
Holyoke, Massachusetts.
That day is
yes.
crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no. I've
listen,
been there.
I have never had so much cabbage in my life. And my ass regretted it the next morning.
Your mass hole?
Yes, my mass hole.
Your mass hole.
My mass hole.
Hey, guys, let's be nice about it. I lived there for 4 years.
I like Massachusetts. The spirit of Massachusetts is the spirit of America. You
know, Manchester, New Hampshire is actually having theirs as well. Theirs is actually March 20th. Holyoke's is March 20th. New Haven's, like I said, it's this Sunday, the 13th. On the
17th. Just for everyone, we live in New Haven.
You can come and check us out in New Haven.
They're
absolutely.
All like, people are like, well, when's the fucking LA one? Yeah. When's Miami's?
Well,
when's we're Texas? Talking about the
there
East
are no
Coast.
Irish people in Texas.
No, I don't think there's any Irish people in Cali either. So. Sorry, LA. That's all Northeast boys.
You don't get your Shamrock Shakes.
I forgot about those.
Those right? are amazing.
What flavor is the
I've
Shamrock Shake?
I've never had
shake?
One.
Yeah, me neither.
I haven't either.
Is it mint?
I think
or is it just
mint.
Dyed?
I think it is. They just take mint and throw some food coloring and a little
Siri?
Vanilla. Siri, what's in a...
Siri, what flavor is the Shamrock Shake?
She's going to come back with something stupid. Watch.
Let me think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I found on the web for what flavor is the Shamrock Shake.
In other words, bitch, read it yourself.
Yeah,
it's
not going to say
you.
It. Exactly.
I told you. There is
a dive bar. I went, my friend Chelsea, she turned 24 in January, and there's a dive bar in Suffield, Connecticut called the Shamrock Cafe. And I had never been there. I remember seeing it as a little kid driving by. It's a biker bar. You know, people are there at like 10:30 in the morning with their motorcycles getting wasted. And I walk in, the first thing that someone says to me is, hey, Chris, don't eat the sham dogs. They serve these hot dogs that they leave in a warmer next to a popcorn machine. They are gray.
Ew.
Do they try to dye them in green dye or something? Or
no,
are they gray
no, they,
from
they,
sitting
they
there?
They just have them all the time. And a friend of mine is like, no, they're not that bad. I'm like,
take
that
their
hot
word
dog
for it.
Is
don't
gray.
Eat the sham dogs.
First things they say, hey, Chris, don't eat the sham dogs. So no, if you're ever at the Shamrock Cafe, don't eat the sham dogs.
They might need to, like, you know, wipe them down with a sham wow.
So, yeah, so we have St. Patrick's Day coming up, but we also, so we're going to do that little mini podcast for you. But we are going to.
We have other things coming up too.
We do.
We have Easter coming up. So I believe on our next podcast, we're going to talk about family matters.
Yeah.
What it's like to
go home.
Spend the weekend or the day or.
Well, in honor of Fuller House, which just was just released on Netflix, by the way.
Which
I saw that. I haven't even, I don't even know where to begin. I need to sit down and watch the show.
It is like, because I watch Full House, I love it, but it is a bad show.
It's bad. Right.
I haven't seen a single.
It is just like, I'm like, what is going on? But then every time a character walks into the set, I'm like, oh my God, it's Kimmy. Like,
is Bob Saget in it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
They the only all ones, are the only ones that didn't come back
were the twins.
And they make
ones.
A lot of little. They make a lot of little like cameos about them too.
Yeah, they
They're
do.
Like, oh, Mary Kate and Ashley are too busy running a fashion empire in New York.
And then everybody stares into the camera.
And they all looked at the camera.
It's like but silent call, fuck you.
Yeah, I think so.
But do they call her Mary Kate and Ashley,
I
or do they call
think
her,
at one point no, they said Mary and Ashley, Mary Kate and Ashley?
No, they because it was okay. We all knew they were twins, but it was actually only
yeah,
one
it was
character,
only one of them,
only
right,
one
right.
Michelle.
But I think in that scene they said Mary Kate and Ashley.
No, they said Michelle.
Well, I read it online. I didn't even look at the show. I don't care to even watch the
Go
show.
Go figure.
Oh, that dear, bitch, he went cross-eyed.
She was probably taking a shit while she was reading that shit, too. Are you taking a dump right now?
I'm going to have to real soon because duty calls.
That pizza's settling in. But, ladies and gentlemen, so yes, we're going to do a mini podcast for you next week after St. Patrick's Day. Once we've had drinks all night long, we're going to come at you and give you something fun. And then...
we're going to have a podcast about Easter and spending time with your family. Our if family you have times. A good time, if it's a stressful time, if your mother and you are throwing things at each other and fighting with your siblings, or if it's just a good time. I know my family's
Some
a little hard to get along with.
Some people go home and they love to be their families.
I love my family, but you know, it's like, I don't want to sit down and eat. I just want to just fucking watch movies all day. Leave me alone.
I know. I want to have a Magners with my sister.
That's what you call vacation family.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
So we're going to have a lot to talk about that. And you know, we're going to bring you a lot of little good things and bad things. You know,
how do you deal with it? How to deal with it? Little nips in your bag. Nobody needs to know.
Meanwhile, in Canada. is a little segment that I can guarantee I will be sneaking in every single episode. For the guys here, they know that I am obsessed with Canada. That's the nation that I plan to be living in and spending my life
poutine.
In.
Poutine.
He's our resident Canadian.
I love Poutine. Yes, I am the resident Canadian.
Well, listen, if Donald Trump is elected, I think I'm moving with you.
I know.
Come with me.
We might just have to get an apartment together.
We'll go to Cape Breton.
I want a cabin.
We'll move to Nova Scotia. It's beautiful. But I found something out really that was really interesting today. So meanwhile, in Canada... other than Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, being on 60 Minutes yesterday. Yeah, he is beautiful.
Listen,
especially
like,
for a world
beep,
leader.
Beep, beep. That's me bending over every time I hear the man's name. So,
were any of you guys fans of Winnie the Pooh growing up? And I'll make this quick for you. No. Winnie the Pooh?
The Poop?
Winnie the Pooh.
Of course.
Winnie the Pooh Bear.
The Pooh
Christopher
Bear.
Robin?
Yes.
This is a fact. In 1915, a bear cub named Winnipeg was exported from Winnipeg, Canada, to the London Zoo, like I said, in 1915. A boy, Christopher Robin Milne, would love to visit this bear that he nicknamed Winnie. This inspired his father, A.A. Milne, to write the books Winnie the Pooh.
That he's from Canada?
Winnie the Pooh is about...
You just ruined Winnie the Pooh for me.
Back off my Canada. Winnie the Pooh... The Pooh Bear is a bear named after Winnipeg.
Oh, my God. We all grew up loving a Canadian bear.
Loving a Canadian story.
That's just like saying Smokey the Bear is Mexican.
Oh,
maybe Trump is wrong. We should be building the wall on the northern side, not the southern side.
Back up by Canada.
We're going to have to keep this one out of our out of Canada. But guys, listen, we're very appreciative that you guys tuned in this long. We are greatly happy to start a podcast for you. We're going to do this, like I said. We're going to come at you with everything that we've got. Trust me, we've got a lot. And I want to thank my friends, Nick, Chris, and Paul. They're amazing. This is the reason why I do this. Because you guys make it possible. Me by myself, I'd be boring.
And champagne.
I'd be totally boring, but you guys make it amazing. So thank you so much.
Cheers, guys.
We'll
see you next week. All right,
Gay Talk 2.0. Cheers.
Gay Talk 2.0.
Thanks for being
with
us.
Until next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.